manufacturer presents your Radio Hall of Fame. Today, the Radio Hall of Fame comes to you from the beautiful Earl Carroll Theater Restaurant in Hollywood and the famous Store Club in New York City. And here is your host, the Dean of Modern American Music, Paul Whiteman.
Thank you, Pierre André, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Right now, gathered around the banquet table at the Stork Club are the motion picture critics of the principal New York newspapers. With them is our own Glenn Riggs. Hello, Glenn.
Hello, Paul.
And for 3 years, Philco's Radio Hall of Fame has honored the greats of the entertainment world. Today, we are honored by being chosen by the critics as the program to air their annual awards for the best in motion picture.
And here beside me, I have John T. McManus, chairman of the New York Film Critics Committee, ready to make the awards.
And here besides me, Glenn, I have the Hollywood winners. We're ready if you are, Mr. McManus.
Thank you, Paul Whiteman. And now on behalf of the New York Film Critics, may I present the first of our awards to lovely and talented Ingrid Bergman as the best actress of 1945 for her outstanding performances in Spellbound and The Bells of St. Mary's.
Thank you, Mr. McManus, and thank you, critics of New York. It's very comforting to know I have so many nice gentlemen in my corner. I am deeply honored.
That was a very pretty speech, Miss Bergman, from 3,000 miles away. And now, for his notable performance in The Lost Weekend, our award for the year's best actor goes to another of Hall of Fame studio guests today, Ray Milland. Our hearty applause here, Ray Milland.
Thank you, Mr. McManus, and thanks to all the New York film critics for this very great honor. While I have this opportunity, I want to express my appreciation to Paramount and to you, Charles Brackett and Billy Wilder, for giving me the chance to play Don Burnham. I'm very happy to know that you think I did all right with the role. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ray Milland. And now for the best motion picture of 1945. And the best director, too. Are you there, director Billy Wilder and producer Charlie Brackett? We have two winners' awards here for your 1945 masterpiece, Charles Jackson's The Lost Weekend.
In the name of Paramount Pictures, I want to express the studio's very great pride in this award. You New York motion picture critics are a pretty tough bunch, and to get praise from you is as sweet as getting Edelweiss from a glacier. Bless you.
This is Billy Wilder speaking and saying with an imperceptible Austin accent, thank you for this unexpected honor. Only could you please tell me, why did it take you 6 ballots?
I'll tell you that sometime, Billy. May all your weekends be just as memorable as this one. This year, the New York film critics have made 2 special awards instead of their usual 1 to General Dwight Eisenhower and the photographic units of the British and United States armies for the factual war film, The True Glory, and to the United States Navy and 20th Century Fox Studio for the spectacular seagoing film of our aircraft carrier fleet, The Fighting Lady. Here at the Stork Club are distinguished representatives of the Army and Navy to receive these awards on behalf of their respective branches of the service. Representing General Eisenhower, Major General Thomas B. Larkin. General, our deepest respects to the Allied armies for that fine film, The True Glory.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. The New York Film Critic Circle. May I express to you all the appreciation of General Eisenhower and myself, and I'm sure the pleasure and pride of the combat cameramen of all our armies for your recognition of their work in The True Glory. In this film, we endeavored to picture the character and courage and comradeship of the Allied fighting men in adversity as well as victory. We are indeed pleased that the New York film critics have seen fit to bestow this lasting recognition on The True Glory.
And it was a pleasure for us too, General Larkin. And now, representing Secretary of the Navy James Forrestal, a noted Navy man and a noted artist in civilian life, Captain Edward Steichen, whose years of accomplishment in the art of photography helped to make The Fighting Lady an unforgettable document of victory on the sea and in the air. Captain Steichen.
The United, The United States Navy thanks you, ladies and gentlemen. May I personally respond on behalf of the photographic personnel of our Pacific Forces for this award. To Lieutenant Commander Dwight Long, who was in charge of the photographers, and particularly to Mr. Louis de Rochemont, who guided the fighting lady through the production stages of 20th Century Fox, must go a major share of the credit. Thank you again, and may the fighting lady live on as a guardian of peace and security for the world to come.
Thank you, John T. McManus. Now that the film critics have dealt out their awards, here is Martha Tilton, the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Choir, voicing approval with What a Deal.
I don't have a million. I don't own a bank. Don't have a gold mine. Don't have any rain. But I have something really real. It's a wonderful, wonderful deal. I'm riding a private rainbow, sailing around the sun, having laughs, having fun. You made the wind and rainbow. What a deal, what a deal, what a deal. Wrapping your love around me, nestling in the night. This is real, this is right. Millions of dreams surround me. What a deal. Stars are spinning. Funny how your embrace makes my heart start to race. Heaven is just beginning. What a deal. I'm riding a private rainbow, sailing around the sun, having laughs, having fun. You made the wind and rain go. What a deal,
what a deal,
what a deal, what a feeling, wrapping your love around me, nestling in the night, this is real, this is right, millions of dreams surround me, what a deal,
what a deal, what a deal,
I was lonely. Heaven is just beginning. What a deal.
Like a private rainbow, sailing around the sun.
What a feeling.
Even the stars are spinning. Heaven has just begun.
Baby. What a deal.
Did you like that typical Whiteman arrangement of What a Deal? Well, just wait till you hear it over one of those new Philco radios. You'll hardly believe how much better your favorite music is going to sound when you can give your old radio an honorable discharge and tune in a new Philco. And in a Philco, new means brand new. New designs, new engineering. Sensational new improvements from the Philco laboratories. For Philco has returned from its wartime triumphs 10 years ahead of 4 years ago. Now take the new Philco Portable. Philco engineers traveled all over the country, testing this Philco model in remote mountains, deep woods, vacation spots far from radio stations, on trains, near power lines. Using their war research, they designed an entirely new circuit that will make you forget all your previous ideas about portable radios. So before you buy, see, hear, and compare the new Philco radios. Ask your dealer about Philco's spectacular improvements in power and performance.
He'll show you why Philco is famous for quality the world over.
When picture, actor, director all come in first in a photo finish, it's news. When you get them all together, it's even bigger news. Unfortunately, we haven't got a screen or a television here today for you to see Paramount's picturization of Charles Jackson's bestseller, The Lost Weekend. But we do have its star and its director, Ray Milland and Billy Wilder.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Paul.
Gentlemen, it's nice to have you here. You know, when you talk to an actor and a director about an award-winning picture, which they both had a hand in, the urge is great to say, what was your favorite scene?
Well, that's easy, Paul. The scene on Third Avenue.
Where Ray tries to hock the typewriter.
How did you ever avoid the rubbernecks? Everybody seemed to be going on their business very naturally.
Well, they didn't know their pictures were being taken, actually. Billy had the camera set up in packing boxes all the way up Third Avenue. For the moving shots, he rented an old laundry wagon and concealed a camera in it.
Nobody caught on. It didn't take much makeup to have Milland look like another Third Avenue bum.
You lucky stiff, riding around a laundry wagon all day. After the second day, I didn't have to act the part of a bum. I was living it. Walking 85 blocks a day, boy. For a while there, I didn't know whether I was under contract to Paramount or the U.S. Infantry.
Didn't Billy give you your nights off?
Every night off.
So I could go back to the hotel and soak my feet. Nice fellow. Very nice indeed. He'd phone me from all the smart spots. The operator would say, Mr. Wilder's calling from the Star Club, Mr. Milland. Then he'd say, how is the feet? I didn't care how I was. He just didn't care about that. Just so my feet were in good shape. That's all.
Well, Ray, didn't you go out at all while you were in New York?
Once. Exactly once. I got so burned up with that guy Wilder, I put on a pair of dark glasses, turned up my coat collar, sneaked down the hall to the service elevator, out the side door, and started through the side streets.
Well, what happened?
He got pinched again.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you get out of it?
Wilder wasn't around, so I had to talk my way out of it. I finally convinced the cop I was Ray Milland, the actor. He shook his head and he said, you guys sure look different on the screen.
I don't know what you're complaining about. You finally got to the theater.
And what did you see?
A bloomer girl, they told me. The way I looked, they'd only sell me a ticket in the second balcony.
To hear you squawk, Ray, I wonder if it was all worthwhile.
Worthwhile. The combination of Ray Milland, Third Avenue, and Billy Wilder's laundry tuck produced 60,000 feet of nakedly realistic film for one of the most memorable scenes ever to come out of a motion picture camera. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, when you see this great picture, you will understand why the documentary integrity of Ray Milland, Billy Wilder, and The Lost Weekend have garnered 3 awards from the New York film critics. You know, when we left New York last week, there was a running gag along Broadway that went something like this. You know, I just saw a picture without Bergman in it. The reason being, there was hardly a marquee in all Times Square without Ingrid Bergman in lights. As a matter of fact, it's as hard to find a picture without Bergman as it is to find an apartment in Los Angeles. So leave us face it, the lady is a sensation. Miss Ingrid Bergman.
Thank you, Paul, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Miss Bergman, you leave me spellbound.
Well, it is one of my favorite pictures.
Well, why should you be an exception? It's the nation's favorite. So was The Bells of St. Mary.
Well, one B. Crosby helped me on that.
B. Crosby, the old groaner. Whoever thought he'd boo-boo-boo-boo himself right up beside Bergman.
It was delightful working with Bing. He's fun, Paul.
Well, that was so apparent, it showed all the way through the picture.
What scene did you like best?
Well, now you've got me. I liked them all, but there was one that I liked particularly well. One I'd like to see again, where you bring the youngster into your office and patch up his face after the fight.
Yes. Well, that scene really started in the schoolyard with Father O'Malley and Sister Benedict. He felt that boys should be brought up to take care of themselves, that it is a man's world and that sometimes a man has to fight his way through. Sister Benedict felt that they couldn't tolerate fighting in the school, that it was better for boys to think their way through rather than fight. Her last words to Father O'Malley were, well, you look after Tommy and I look after Eddie, who lost the fight because he listened to me. Eddie?
Yes, sister?
Come over here. I want to fix your face. Let me look at you. Oh, Eddie, that's awful. Now tell me, how did all this happen?
I was going along, minding my own business, when Tommy tripped me. Although I was very mad, I control myself, sister, just like you said.
Yes.
And I said to him, why'd you do that?
Yes, hold still while I fix your nose now. Then what did he say?
Didn't say anything. He just hauled off and hit me right in the eyes.
Oh, looks awful black. Now then, what did you do?
I remembered what you said, sister, and I turned the other cheek. Then he really let me have it.
Well, you were a very good boy, Eddie.
I turned away to ignore him, and then he kicked me.
I'm very proud of you.
I don't feel so hot.
Oh, no, hold still. I won't put this cotton in your nose there. Now, Eddie, you really won a victory over Tommy.
Did I, sister?
Yes, you were really the better man. You and I know that.
Nobody else knows it. To tell you the truth, I don't know it. I don't think anybody was proud of me. And even Father O'Malley. Don't you think he thought Tommy was the best man?
Better man.
I was thinking, sister.
Yes.
Since I've been through such a beating, and I've been through so much, maybe I wouldn't have to go to school today.
Well, now.
But if you think I should go, sister, I'll go, no matter how bad I feel.
Well, maybe I'll declare a holiday just for you, Eddie.
Thank you, sister.
Delightful, Miss Bergman, and nice going, Dickie Tyler. Wouldn't you like to continue and do the scene where you teach Dickie the manly art of self-defense? The scene everybody raved about?
No, I hardly think that's advisable.
Why not?
No, I'm frightened, you see. But we did that scene a year ago. Dickie was a lot smaller than he is now.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Uh-huh. I'm afraid I couldn't hold my own with him anymore. I'm afraid of the tail.
Vienna brings back wonderful memories.
Ah, it's been 20 years since I played that.
I know, I heard you. In fact, you're responsible for my leaving Vienna. You were the turning point in my career.
Well, that's news. How do you figure?
I was a newspaper man in those days.
Well, I'll be. Oh, you were the guy that gave us those rave notices about Wabash Blues?
Yeah, that was me. And I'll never forget the fellow that played that hot banjo.
Oh, you mean Mike Pingator. He's still in the band and he's right here with us now.
I'd like to hear him.
Oh, well, never mind the old Wabash. We've got a new arrangement of Wabash Blues. You know, Hollywood, Technicolor, and everything. Oh, just listen to this. Just listen. Like that.
confidentially, I like the way Mike played it in Berlin better. Would you please play it for us?
Well, you've got it. Take it, boys. Take it.
Paul, I've been listening to your now and then numbers in the air for a long, long time.
Well, Pierre, I've watched a lot of great tunes come and go, and year in and year out. They're still tops in my book.
Well, I've heard you say that about Philco radios, too.
You sure have. Take those 1930 Philcos, for instance, back when I was playing this tune. Pierre, those 1930 Philcos were great radios in their day, just like the new Philcos are now.
Yes, the leader in 1930 and the leader today. Philco is resuming its unbroken record of radio leadership with spectacular new improvements in power and performance from the Philco laboratories. New engineering achievements, like Philco's amazing table-modeled radio phonograph. No more fussing with lids, tone arms, controls, or needles. You just put any size record in the slot and close the door, and it plays. Ask your Philco dealer what's new in radio from Philco, the leader. And soon, a new Philco will be bringing you...
Bergman, Martha tells me that you and she are old friends.
Well, yes, Paul, Martha, and I spent 3 months overseas with Jack Benny entertaining the boys.
It was grand fun, but Ingrid, you sort of held out on me.
Why, Martha, I worked in all the sketches, didn't I?
Yes, but I had to wait to see the bells of St. Mary's to find out that you could sing. And all the time you never told us.
Well, I don't sing. I sort of doodle.
I'd like to doodle like that and win an award. Ingrid, would you sort of doodle a little of that delightful song you did in the picture?
Oh, Martha.
Paul, quick before she changes her mind.
Wohl in der frisker Liga, o viskaren under en akring lik delskande fall. Drömmarna hila finna i vila förrän i havet störet vågen far. Klappa mitt hjärta klaga och hör valhornets klang bland klipporna dör. Strömkaren spelar, sorgerna delar bakan kring berg och dag. Klappa mitt hjärta klaga och hör valhornets klang bland klipporna dör. Strömkaren spelar, sorgerna delar vakan kring berg och dal. Martha, now it's your turn. What's it going to be?
A song we both heard overseas that's sweeping the country. Symphony.
Symphony.
from above, how does it start? And the song begins, singing violin, start in my heart. Then
General Larkin for being with us. And thanks to John McManus and the Film Critics of New York. We were honored to honor you on Philco's Radio Hall of Fame. Well, we got a couple of people dropping in on us next week. Sarah Dew's favorite boy. Howdy.
Howdy doody to you, too.
My Red Skelton.
Well,
You're not supposed to be here until next week.
Yeah, that's right. But I heard you say Sarah Dew's favorite boyfriend, and I thought they'd better come out.
And Mama's favorite bad-witted junior.
That's me, folks.
And now go home and be a good boy.
Good little boy? You don't know me very well, do you, folks?
Thank you, Red, for dropping in to say hello. And ladies and gentlemen, be sure and listen next week to your Radio Hall of Fame. Martha Tilton will be around to chirp a couple of ballads with the orchestra and choir. And waving the stick for Philco will be yours most sincerely, Paul Whiteman.
Don't miss Philco's other program, The Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil, Monday through Friday, over most of these same stations. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.